wonderful Jesus is to me. He's my counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Oh, wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. He's my counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is He. And He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. He's my counselor,
y'all bring us some more microphones? Maybe we can use one. Here we go. I feel good today. I don't know about y'all, but I just feel good in my soul. Did y'all know that Sister Taryn's mama was here? And Donovan's mama too. I don't know her name, but I know them. No, I know her name. I'm just hoping she'd feel that. Aunt Susie's here, and her son, Van, Oklahoma. We've been praying for her, haven't we? I'm going to turn this mic up just a little bit. Yeah. That's right.
He's my chauffeur. I'll let him.
If you got any questions, ask him. All right. He's taking Brother Doug. If you would turn my mic up just a little bit so I won't have to strain. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Check, 1, 2, 3, check.
Oh, look, I've got part of my in-laws are here. Outlaws or in-laws one, we hadn't figured it out yet. Sister Brittany's mama. And her little brother. Zach, stand up where everybody can see you. There he is. He's on the drums. I appreciate him coming in, going right to work. He told my wife last night, he said, I don't know if his mama knows this, but he's planning on moving down here. He said, when I move down here, I want to go to work for y'all. She said, you do? He said, yeah, I know how to work. I guess he got that from his mama. I don't know. If you could know all there is to know, you could go everywhere there is to go and do everything there is to do. But if you haven't taken time to pray, known the joy of sin washed away, you'll never know
till it happens to you. Mortal tongue can e'er describe the joy that Jesus gives, or how it feels down deep inside till in your heart he lives.
Even if I find the words, my friend, to the story
that will never end, you'll never know till it happens to you.
Well, you may wonder just how I know Jesus lives down in my soul, and how I know that he will see me through until your heart, his blood has been applied, and your soul is really satisfied. You really know,
did it happen to you?
No mortal tongue can ever describe the joy that Jesus gives,
or how it feels down deep inside when in your heart it is. Even if I find the words, my friend, to the story that will never end, you'll never know till it happens.
You may wonder just how I know Jesus lives down in my soul, and how I know that he will see me through. Into your heart his blood has been applied, and your soul is really satisfied. You really know
when it happens to you.
No mortal tongue can ever describe
the joy that Jesus gives, or how it feels down deep inside when in your heart it lives. Even I find the words, my friend,
to the
story that will never end. You'll never know till it happens to you.
No mortal tongue can describe the joy that Jesus gives,
or how it feels down deep inside when in your heart you live. Even if I find the words, my friend,
to the story that will never end,
you'll never know till it happens to you.
Listen to this verse. You may wonder just how I know Jesus lives down in my soul, and how I know that he will see me through. Aunt Susie, why don't you come up here and let these brethren anoint you with oil, pray for you. You know, God can heal her right here today. Give her a miracle. Just she could go home and the doctors find no more cancer. I know we're serving a God that's able to do that. That's not any harder than him healing a cold.
No tongue can ever describe the joy that Jesus gives,
or how it feels down deep inside
when in your heart he lives. I find the words, my friend, to the story that will never end. You'll never know till it happens to you. No mortal tongue can ever describe the joy that Jesus gives, or how it feels down deep inside when in your heart he lives. Even if I find the words, my friend, to the story that will never end, you'll never know till it happens to you. No mortal tongue can e'er describe the joy that Jesus gives, or how it feels down deep inside when in your heart He lives. Even if I find the words, my friend, to the story that will never end, you'll never know till it happens to you. No mortal tongue can e'er describe the joy that Jesus gives, or how it feels down deep inside to know in your heart He lives. Even if I find the words, my friend, to the story that will never end, you'll never know till it happens to you. Tongue can e'er describe the joy that Jesus gives, or how it feels down deep inside when in your heart He lives. Even if I find the words, my friend, to the story that will never end, you'll never know till it happens to you. No mortal tongue can e'er describe the joy that Jesus gives, or how it feels down deep inside when in your heart He lives. Even if I find the words, my friend, to the story that will never end, you'll never know till it happens to you. Tongue can e'er describe the joy that Jesus gives, or how it feels down deep inside when in your heart He lives. Even if I find the words, my friend, to the story that will never end, you'll never know till it happens to you. Thank you. tongue can e'er describe the joy that Jesus gives, or how it feels down deep inside when in your heart He lives. Even if I find the words, my friend, to the story that will never end, you'll never know till it happens to you. Tongue can e'er describe the joy that Jesus gives, or how it feels down deep inside when in your heart He lives. Even if I find the words, my friend, to the story that will never end, you'll never know till it happens to you.
Or how it feels down deep inside when in your heart He lives. Even if I find the words, my friend, to the story that will never end, you'll never know till it happens to you. If you could know all there is to know, you could go everywhere there is to go and do everything there is to do. But if you haven't taken time to pray, known the joy of sin washed away, you'll never know till it happens to you.
No mortal tongue can ever describe the joy that Jesus gives, or how it feels down deep inside when in your heart he lives. Even if I find the words traveling to the story that will never end, no mortal tongue can ever describe the joy that Jesus gives, or how it feels down deep inside when it through your heart he lives. Even if I find the words to the story that will never be,
find the words
to the story that will never end. You'll never know
till it happens.
No more
John can describe the joy that Jesus gives, or how it feels down deep inside.
Turn, there you go. They said that you can, anybody said that we have an open pulpit. But they said the only thing is that we'll let you get up and talk in it. But said if you're not hooked up, we'll know it. That made me so mad when I first heard that. But I found out it's the truth. Of course, I'm trying to get hooked up right now, but it's in a different way. This is a mechanical hookup that won't help you at all if the Holy Ghost don't help you. So, now it's got to be back. All right. Anyway, they told me, they said, this people are, they're used to hearing the Spirit talk. Said, so you can talk, we'll let you get up and talk, but said, if you're not hooked up, they'll know it. I went home, I never will forget telling them. I said, who do these people think they are telling me if I'm not hooked up, they're going to know it? But thank God I got up and I really got hooked up. Sister Crow, the Lord helped me. You know God's that. He's merciful. So he knew that I needed hooked up because he did. I needed hooked up worse than I needed humiliated. After he got me here a while, then he let me get up, and he didn't let me get hooked up, and I got humiliated, Brother Weaver. But I needed that just as bad. I love that. I would hate to be in a church that you couldn't tell the difference when the Spirit of God was there and when it wasn't. I'd hate to not feel God or His anointing or His power and strength. There's there's three powers the Bible talks about that every one of us need. And I realize without God, I'm just nothing. Even though sometimes I feel like nothing with Him, I know better. I can't depreciate what God's done in my life to a point to say I'm nothing anymore. I was nothing when He found me, but He's done something in my life. His righteousness is working in me. I can't discount that. He's changing my life. There's a God, listen to this scripture. I quoted it in Bible study. He said, Jesus said that he came to His own, but His own received Him not. But as many as did receive Him, to them, it's important to receive the Lord into your life as Savior. It's important for you to be saved. It's a shame and a disgrace to reject Him and to reject the call of God on your life. It's just like you're crucifying Jesus all over again every time you reject Him. That's when they reject Him, they say, I don't need you. Or, you know, you might even say, I know I need God, but I'm not ready. Well, when are you going to get ready? When are you going to get humble enough to say, God, I need you, and I need you now? Because, you know, you don't have a hope for tomorrow. I've in my years of ministry, I've seen people set on the teeter-totter of serving God, not serving God, and I've seen some of them die in an accident or something, and they never made the decision. They never stepped over and said, God, I want to be saved. That's a shame. But the Scripture, listen to what it says, to as many as did receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. It takes accepting Christ in your life and making Him the Lord of your life and accepting His sacrifice. That's a marvelous thing, the forgiveness of sins. That somehow that God Well, you can even feel this. You can know it. You don't have to go home and wonder about it. You don't have to think, well, I hope I'm saved. When you really get saved, you'll know it. It's like that song says, when it you'll know when it happens to you. You'll know when God's tugging at your heart and you receive Him, you accept Him. And He comes into your life and forgives you of all your past sins. You'll go to bed that night, sleep like a baby. You say, well, Brother Smith, I sleep like a baby now. Well, you may do that. You may have your conscience seared over enough that you can sleep with all that sin in your life. But I'm telling you, when you get saved, when you wake up, if you do go to sleep and sleep all night, when you wake up, you'll wake up clean, and you'll know you're clean when you wake up, just like you knew it when you went to sleep. You'll know God's touched your life. You don't even have to get the Holy Ghost to get that. You can be converted, and you can be forgiven of your sins without being born of the Holy Ghost or born of the Spirit of God. And you can know within your heart that God has touched my life. He's forgave me of my sins. And faith does that for you. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And how shall they hear except there be a preacher? Romans 10. And how shall they preach except they be sent? That's how you know it's not just a man talking to you. But when a man talks to you and the Spirit of God penetrates your heart, the Holy Ghost and an anointing's there dealing with you, and you don't feel that when just other people talk to you, you'll know that God sent this person. God sent this person to talk to me. It's God talking to me through them. And faith comes by that, because when the Spirit of God quickens you, it causes faith. Because of that quickening, you'll believe. It's not just somebody convincing you. It's not just somebody, you know, persuading you. Like, who was it? Felix, wasn't it, told Paul, said, thou almost persuadest me to become a Christian. He was almost persuaded. But he didn't accept it because he didn't get enough of a quickening of God. But when that quickening of God touches you and it quickens your life, we're all God's creatures. We're all a part of God's creation. And when God touches you with His Spirit and quickens you, that's why He's a God of the quick and the dead. That's you've got to be quickened of God to be able to serve Him. You have to be quickened of God to be able to respond to Him and be saved. And that quickening, the first time you're quickened of God, your soul, you'll feel it in your soul. Because there's the one who created you, or put, I know you're a natural product of God's creation, but He's the creator. He's the source of the very life that's in your being. I thought when this terrible earthquake in Haiti took place, I thought, looks like man would, things like that would touch men's heart to the point to realize that God could snuff you out just like that. I mean, just like that, there were people that were crumpled. Brother Emilio Green went over to Haiti. We've sent $25,000 hand-carried cash over to them in three different trips now. There wasn't any way to get money to anybody in Haiti. The banks were shut down. There was no way to bank wire it. Western Union, you couldn't get it over there by them. Finally, when they did, they finally said, we'll send money to Haiti for you free of charge, no cost. So we went down to Western Union to ask them, is this so? They said, yes, it's so, but the banks are all shut down. We can't get any money. We're getting a little bit of money into the country, but we're turning big crowds, droves of people away every morning, but way before noon, because we don't have any money to give them. We've received it, but we can't get money to give them. We can go get a little bit every day, what we can get our hands on, but it's not meeting the needs. So you may give us money, and we may not charge you to give it to them, but we can't tell you when they'll get it. So we let Brother Brown, Brother Dave, and other men, Brother Liniger and Mission Voice know that we have an account. This church has a missionary account for the Dominican Republic, and we have a rapport with the banks in the Dominican Republic, and Brother Green, I keep him in checks, and he signs on that account. When I tell him to cash a check, we transfer money into that account, so that check will be good, and the bank will cash it. They'll cash it. I guess I don't know where they'd say we stop, but they cash $10,000 just like that. You know, so I know we can get, you know, we've done that several times, big numbers of money, and had them hand carry it over there. That was kind of scary. The first time they took $5,000 over there, cash, to Brother Preval and Brother Simeon, Brother Benjamin John T., Brother Lionel Joseph, and those leading men over there. But they didn't have anywhere to put it. They don't have safes to put it. They didn't even have a house. They're living. Brother Lionel Joseph's living in a park with 600 saints. They just got tarps stretched out over sticks and any other way they can figure to make a shelter to live in. Brother Joseph's house was flattened, and his church, we thought his church survived it, but I found out this week that it was condemned and it's got to be tore down. It's not safe to go in. So there's devastating things that happened. But anyway, we also were worried about them having that kind of cash. Of course, we've got over 300 churches over there. And isn't it a miracle that not one pastor was killed in that earthquake? And about 60... we've got a count of a little bit over 60 known deaths in the body out of about 8,000 people, I estimated. And there's about another 15 maybe that's unaccounted for, but they could be in the mountains or a lot of places that some of them that they had unaccounted for have been now accounted for. But then there's others that they don't know where are, but they're not writing them off yet as dead. So it's miracles that took place. My brother and Brother Emilio Green, Brother Elias going over there. By the way, I'm planning a trip within the next 2 weeks to the Dominican Republic, and I'm going on over to Haiti and take some more money over there. And you know, there's not much you can do, but I'd like to let them know we care about them. And the body took up in the Brownsville ministers meeting $61,000 in that meeting alone, plus the 25 that we sent over there, plus another 25 that had come into Mission Voice prior to going to the Brownsville meeting. And then there's another 20, another 40 that I know of that's came in. So probably $150,000. I just want you to know this body will give when there's a need. There's this brotherhood, these churches will give. And I know you have given, and I don't want you to quit. We can't meet their need, but we can help. Every little bit can help. They are receiving some aid, but, you know, just in food and handouts, water, but they've got greater needs. They need clothes. They need shelter. We're going to have to rebuild, but I was just saying that I realize how fragile life is. And Jesus told his disciples this. He said, your time is always. My time, he said, is not yet come. God has a predestinated plan, and he's going to see to it that it is fulfilled. You know, there's no evil that's going to outsmart God. He's the creator of all this. And he's in charge of all of it. I think there's a scripture in Proverbs that says, all the works in the bag are the Lord's. Just pull one of them out. God will say, that's mine. I'm in charge of that. You may take it and do what you want to with it, but I'm still going to be in control. You may think you're free, but you're not free. You're not free. You're a prisoner to something. You're either a prisoner to sin, you're either a servant to sin, the fallen condition of man, or you're a servant to God's righteousness. He's in charge. And he's going to be in control. He's going to, you can't get out from underneath his control. He may allow a lot of things. There's another scripture in Ecclesiastes that says that chance happeneth to all men. Think of that. God's in control, but he'll let things happen to you that are just by chance. Some people may say, well, did that earthquake, was that by chance? And I don't know anybody that could answer that. But I can tell you this, if it was by chance or it was ordained of God, he still was in charge and he allowed it. So, you know, I know we may have angels watching over us, but God allows things to happen to us. And what is good about that for the children of God is the Bible says all things work to good for them that are the called according to his purpose. So if you're called of God and you answer the call, then whatever happens to you, whether it's by chance, even if it's by chance, God will work it out for your good. That's hard to understand. You just have to walk with God a while to understand that. Isn't that right, Saint Susie? You just have to serve him a while to realize whatever God lets me go through, he will work it for my good. It may be pain and suffering, but it'll work strength in your life if you hold on to God and serve him through it all. But God, life is fragile. And I know the Lord, the Bible says, it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all would come to salvation, that all would be saved. But God won't force that on you. That's another thing about God. He will. If God loves you enough, if somebody lays up prayer for you, you may say, well, why does God deal with me and he's not dealing with everybody else? You ever think about that? There's people out here on the streets and in the ghettos and other places of the world that's never even heard the name of Jesus. And those that have heard it have never been touched by Him. So why are you sitting here today? It's because of God's grace. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody served God, and their serving God touched your life. And that's how God has an avenue into your life to deal with you and to touch you. You say, well, can't God touch some people another way? Yeah. Yes, God could touch the furthest, most remote person in the world. But how would He save them if He couldn't get them around somebody to show them the way? This book is a spiritual book. It has to be spiritually discerned. There's got to be people. There's got to be gifts. That's what a church is for. Thank God for the church today. I'd hate to be trying to make this on my own. I feel better when I'm in here with y'all. I feel God more when I'm in here and we're all praying. And this is how God chose for it to be. He manifests Himself in settings like this. For the training up of His children and to let you feel His Spirit and to know something about Him. How to respond to the Spirit of God. I said earlier there's three powers. Let me read you the three. In Romans, the first chapter, in the 16th verse, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek. The gospel, the word of God, the anointed, quickened word of God is a power. When God anoints it, it won't return void. When God quickens you just to His word, somebody preaches the word and God quickens that. God causes somebody to say something. You ever been to church where you said, yeah, I've even had people tell me, said, who told you all about me? I didn't know nothing about you. You know, God, no, He reads your mail. God knows all about you, and He can cause people to say things that will let you know that He knows about you. He knows your case. Your case can come up in here, and the preacher preaching on your case when it comes up don't even know that he's talking to you. Now, if you serve under a pastor long enough, he'll get to know you. And he may know if he's on your case, but he shouldn't get in his own spirit and decide he's going to deal with your case. But he ought to wait on the God of heaven to quicken him. Sometimes I'm preaching, I know I'm working on somebody's case, but I know that it's not me. I used to do it a different way. I learned that in here, by the way. I learned how to deal with people's cases when God wasn't dealing with it, I was. But I've learned since to leave that alone. I've learned that's not wisdom and it's not God. And so I try to just be led of God and let the Holy Ghost do the work. And because I know this, if I'm not hooked up, y'all going to know it. Most of y'all know it. But the power of God, that's why it says in the 17th verse, for therein, the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Faith comes by hearing. When you hear the quickened word of God, it'll cause you to believe. Unless you're just, you know, an unbeliever. Unless you reject the quickening of God. And you can do that. God can quicken you, but you can resist it. You can feel that. I'll help you if you know already what I'm talking about, but if you ever feel God dealing with you, there's something going on inside of you. When you don't feel God, you can just sit in your seat and nothing's happening. all's well. But when God starts dealing, when the Spirit of God starts dealing with you, there's a stirring inside of you. There's some kind of warfare going on in your spirit. There's something happening in your mind and in your feelings. The Spirit of God starts working. You don't feel that all the time, but that's how you can know God's dealing with me and I'm wrestling with it. You know, have you ever had to almost get a hold of something? Hang on. I'm afraid of what I may be fixing to do. Well, let me just encourage you, turn loose and just let God have His way in your life. Just surrender to Him. Just surrender to God. And then, God, when you start believing, the minute you say yes, Lord, when He starts dealing with you and you say yes, you become a just person. You're not just. You're unjust, which means you're unrighteous. You're unbelieving. You're not. You're without faith. You're unwise. You're unrighteous. You're evil. You know. I mean, that's just. But when you say yes, Lord, to that quickening and Him dealing with you, you feel God will begin to give a peace, will begin to overshadow you. A comfort will begin to work in your heart, and faith will build. You'll just believe. You'll know God's touched me. And when you respond to Him, that faith will enter into your heart. God measures faith that way. Because when you feel God, you know, God's dealing with you and you respond to it by saying, I believe, I know this is happening, something happening to me and I believe it. When you respond to that, faith has been measured to you. And now you're a part of the faithful. And then it's faith to faith. The Word of God, you grow in it. You have to grow in the knowledge of God, and it's a power. It's a power to you because it's not just words, but it's quickened words of the source of all life. It's the quickened Word of God. It's the power of God. The source of life and all power has give you an unction. There's a power resting in your life. All you young people, pick you up good verses in the Bible and start memorizing them. It's powerful. Let me tell you how powerful it is. Jesus, when He was tempted of the devil 40 days and nights, and the Bible says that He was driven. Where is that at? Let's look. Is that in Luke 4? We can find it. It's in more places than one, but I think Luke's the one that said it drove Him into the Spirit. If it's not, well, some of these theologians will help me. He was led by the Spirit. Okay, let's try Mark, Matthew. One of you look in Matthew 4, 1, the other one in Mark 1, 12. Matthew, Mark 1. What's Mark 1, 12 say? Huh? Drove Him. Okay. Mark 1. Zach, where are you at? Where's Zachary at? Is he gone? He's gone to the bathroom right now, maybe. I wanted him to get this. I just want to make sure he's keeping up. Mark 1 and 12 said, immediately after he was baptized by John in Jordan, and there's a voice from heaven said, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan. And we know what the temptation. By the way, this was, you know, I told y'all this morning, this wickedness that works in the form of Satan is a religious spirit. Jesus was religious. He was spiritual. And it was and what was working in him had to do with spirituality. It wasn't the ungodly. He wasn't ungodly. He wasn't having trouble with the ungodly world, but where he was having trouble was with spiritual things, his spirit. And remember, God put him on a fast, and he got so hungry. He was tempted. He thought, you know, if I'm the Son of God, I could turn these stones.